Morning. Good to see everyone this morning. I want to welcome everyone to Church of Christ, New Lex. Good to have our visitors this morning. Also, we have Brother Dave Neal from Somerset's going to speak to us this morning about mission work. Good to have his wife with him, his their grandchildren. Good to have them all with us. If you will, turn your psalm books 290. We'll sing the first and last verse. Then we'll stand for opening prayer and scripture reading.
Earthly wealth and fame may never come to me, and the palace fair here mine may never be. But let come what may, if Christ for me doth care, anywhere.
Mighty Father, which art in heaven, we thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for giving us another day of life, beautiful sunny morning. We thank you for being able to be here and worship you in spirit and truth. And we pray that everything we do be to your name's honor and glory and sound in the truth. God, we pray for Dave as he brings forth a lesson. You'll be with him and his family and help him get well of his things in his life, and also Mike Joseph going through a lot. Sheila Giannis, Betty's daughter-in-law, going through a lot. We pray, Father, that you will be with her, comfort her, and strengthen her. And Eddie and Betty and others. We pray, Father, for so many. It's going through so many things. We pray your richest blessings on them. Be with us, God, and if there's anyone here who needs to become a Christian, a child of yours, be baptized into Christ, that this be the very day before it's too late. We praise you, God, for Christ, and it's in his holy name we pray, and please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, verses 33 through 40. 33 through 40. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was in hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and saying, Lord, when shall we thee in hunger and fed thee, and or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when shall we see thee or sick and in prison and came unto thee? Verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these, least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Please turn to 61. After this song, we'll turn it over to Dave. 61.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Dave.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for letting me speak to you this morning. By the way, I am Dave Neal, if you don't recognize me. I haven't had this a little bit of hair since I left the military. But, and some of you have asked me about how things are going with the cancer. Praise God, doing well. I was told in February, March, April time frame to from the oncologist at OSU, well, there's no cure, go home, get your house in order. And I thought, well, maybe you don't know my God. Friday of this past week, Chris was at her annual checkup with our family doctor, and he told her, he said, I'm surprised he's still around. So again, praise God, you don't know my God. But anyway, it's good to be here, and glad to be able to bring to you a portion of God's Word. I always feel like I'm at home with this congregation, not necessarily this building, of course it was the old building I was associated with that I remember. But there, my dad, my mom, my sister, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, and some of those, I guess all of those, except for my brothers on the wall back there. But anyway, appreciate being here this morning. We did the podcast here, I don't know, when was that, Jim? A month ago, maybe? And we got to thinking about evangelism and mission work, that sort of thing, and being a good steward. So I thought, well, kind of talk my way into bringing you a message about from the scripture, and then showing how that we had taken that into action. And I want to preface what I'm about to say. What I'm about to say is not about me. It's about loving God, and it's about people being dedicated to doing His will. So there's a sequence of events that take place in the Gospel of Matthew that I want to call your attention to. The first one is on the screens. You can see that from Matthew 24. And that's that verse where, or that chapter rather, where Jesus is talking about, well, when, or being asked, when are you coming back and when are you going to destroy Jerusalem? So he answers both those questions in that chapter 24. But the thing they wanted to focus on here is he also talks about coming back. So just kind of keep that in mind. The next topic that comes up in Matthew 25, the first 14 verses talks about that parable of the virgins. And you know, some of them were prepared, some of them weren't. Those who were prepared entered the wedding feast and were safe. Those that were not prepared, the doors were shut and they weren't allowed in. So what's that tell you? Well, we need to be prepared. We need to understand that the time is coming when the doors will close on that opportunity to go to heaven. Then also in chapter 25, it's the parable of the talents. So Jesus is talking about his return. He's talking about being prepared. He's talking about using our abilities. And I praise God for the fact that I don't have to perform up to match somebody else's talents. You know, Jesus teaches us that we can, as long as we use that talent, whatever it is that we have, as long as we use that, we're in good standing with Him. Then in Matthew 25, verses 33 through 46, Tom had read the account of Jesus talking about when did people respond to Him and do the things? When did they feed Him and clothe Him and visit Him? And He said, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. Important lesson for us to learn. Then we have the Lord's Supper being established in Matthew 26. And what's Jesus saying? Remember me. Remember me for what I've done. How many times have you thought about who Jesus is and what He means to you? Jesus, if we could just fall in love with Christ, and I mean that in a very sincere way, rather than, well, okay, I have to go to church today, or I have to do this. I don't have to do, but rather I fall in love with Christ because of what He done for me. It's no wonder that the Apostle Paul made the statement in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. He said the love of Christ compelled him to do what he did, compelled him to live the life that he lived. So, having said that, the idea of what John wrote in Revelation 4, verse 11, that you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and certainly He did. Jesus was there in the beginning with Christ, or with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, making what we know as this earth. And not only that, but sustaining life. And not only that, but when the fullness of time had come, according to Galatians 4:4, came to earth and led his life as an example for us. So how do we react to those things? How do we begin to comprehend? Well, Jesus went about doing good. So there's one thing that we can think about. And by the way, Philippians 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. So if we could just think like Christ in our role. You know, the commission had been given from Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Well, if you look at verse 18, it says all authority had been given to him. And then he goes on to talk about going and teaching, baptizing people, teaching them again. But he went about doing good. Now, if we could just think like Jesus and go about doing good. And Paul wrote about this about that very subject in Galatians chapter 4, or chapter 6, verse 10, rather, saying that we need to do good to all people as we have opportunity. All people, especially those of the household of faith. At the end of the first missionary journey that Paul was on, he came back to its origin, that city where he left from originally, and he told the congregation about what had happened, all the things that God had done through him, the things that God had done. And he wasn't claiming any glory for himself. He was claiming what God had done. And that's what brings us to this part of the lesson this morning. In October, we'd gone down to Bayou La Batre, Alabama. Been going there for the last 18 or 19 years. Originally, it was to help recover from the hurricane. And understand that, how many of you have seen the movie Forrest Gump? Anybody? Yeah. That's where it was, part of it was filmed at least, where he jumps into the boat to meet Lieutenant Dan. That was there. His household, or his home, was there. The house is still there. It was funny because I was taking some of those people with me for the first time. They've been there this year. And they want to see his house. So we're driving. I'm taking them out there to where the house is. The house is here. I'm driving up alongside it. It faces this street over here. One of the guys in the back says, that's a nice house. I said, that's where the film was made. But anyway, Hollywood took its liberty there. And across the street's really the bay, not the residence that the movie showed. But anyway, Bayou La Batre is a fishing community. It truly is. When the hurricane came in, it wiped out their business. And when the fishing industry, it wasn't just a short time after that the oil spill happened. And it hit them twice, actually. The first time, they were starting to recover from the hurricane. The fishing industry was starting to come back well, and the oil spill wiped it out again. The following year, they had a lot of rain, and it washed some of that oil out of the bayou, out into the bay, and destroyed it again. So in the meantime, the processing plants went offshore. Well, they're still going offshore because they can buy offshore foreign fisheries cheaper than the local people can buy or can catch and sell it to them. But so that's the history of Bayou La Batre over the last several years. But 59% of the people over 18 don't have a high school education. That's not a slam, it's just the way it is. A lot of the folks that could leave did leave, but there are those people that didn't have the means to go someplace else, so they were stuck. 39% live below the poverty level. Less shrimp license were sold this year than in the past. And you think your gas bill is, you think your fuel bill is a lot to put gas in your car? How'd you like to fill one of the shrimp boats? $4 a gallon, 4,500 gallons of fuel to fill it up, $18,000 to fill up one of the boats. One of the boats that looks like that blue one, you can't see it, happens to have a for sale sign in it because they just cannot compete. And when you start talking about that kind of money to go out and buy shrimp and resell it, it's just an enormous task. So what about the church is there? It's about, I'd say it's probably less than 20 years old. And it was, it grew out of the rubble of Hurricane Katrina. When I first started going there, it was primarily to help recover, help people clean up after the hurricane and rebuild, that sort of thing. Well, the congregation there was just a handful of people then, and they couldn't afford a building. They were meeting in a rented hall. Well, some folks across the nation actually got together and purchased a building there, which is this one. And it's nice. It was in about 4 feet of water, and it needed to be restored. Well, the congregations from across the nation paid off the debt and then started rehabbing the building. And in the back, you see the fellowship hall. I don't know if you can see it or not, but if you look right above the door handle on the ground elevation, does that brick look darker to you on the monitors? I think that's where the water level was. I don't know if you can see that or not. But the upstairs there is a bunkhouse where volunteers can stay. Stayed there a lot. Then the lower floor there is the classroom area. Of course, the auditorium's off to the right in that picture, and then the fellowship hall back to the left. A typical built inside that second floor, typical room up there for volunteers to stay. They can accommodate probably close to 50 people up there. It might be a little bit tight, but you can do it. And then volunteers just recently, I guess it was last year, they brought in this building and didn't cost the congregation anything. A little bit nicer to stay in this one than it is the other one, but with my chemo treatments, the folks knew there that I had trouble climbing those steps, because going up steps has been the biggest challenge for me recently. So they said, well, you can stay in this building. Okay, wonderful, that's great. There's not that many steps there, and the inside of it's a whole lot nicer. But anyway, that's where I stayed this year. Now, to the congregation itself, Billy Spaulding is probably one of the real backbones of that congregation. He works very diligently, keeps us inspired to come back and help out. Before he retired, he was working. He'd get up like at 3 o'clock in the morning, go to his job, come back to the building, and be there till maybe 7, 8 o'clock at night, every day of the week, except for Sunday. Sunday they'd do their worship service, and then they'd go home after the evening service. But anyway, he still puts in a long, long days at the church building there. And what they do is help the neighborhood. They are that light on the hill that the Bible talks about. They feed people practically every day of the week. Practically every day of the week. A really working congregation. And the lady beside him is the cook there, a member of the congregation as well. Inside the fellowship hall, I put this picture up so that you can see the wall. Now, this is a little bit different from what you might think of as a fellowship hall. But if you look at the walls, you see those wooden plaques. Volunteers that come in to help them out, I don't know how the tradition got started, but they started putting their names on those wooden plaques and putting them up on the wall. Well, not to be left out, there's ours. Starting back in 2006, it was the first trip that we did that. But I'm sure that we were there before that, because we're still meeting over in the rented hall prior to starting this tradition. Our group, there were five of us that have gone down this year, and they're just adding their names to that plaque, and we put it back up on the wall. The purpose this time was to help out where we could around the building, because there's always maintenance items that need to be done, especially as old as this building is. And also to relieve the congregation of their duties, just give them a break. And they really appreciate that. You guys that teach every week know what it's like to be on the spot to prepare and to conduct a class. Well, our group that was there this year, we taught the Wednesday night class, so they didn't have to. They have classes. And then the Thursday morning they have a class. We taught that. We taught the Bible study on Sunday morning, and then I preached, and we helped them with some other activities that I'll get to here in a minute. But basically just giving them a break. This was a picture of the Thursday morning class where the gentleman standing there in that brown shirt, and Chris will probably correct me on calling that brown. Is that gold or brown? The guy standing is conducting the class, and that's primarily for adults, again, to get them into a time where they can study the Bible as adults, because this congregation is unique. It has more kids than adults, so they are really challenged in that regard. But I tell you what, if it wasn't for the congregation there bringing these kids off the street, the kids would be in serious problems. When the unemployment goes to, right after Katrina, it went up to like 50%. Then it dropped back. It's probably somewhere maybe in the 30s now. But what happened was, when unemployment goes that high, prostitution came in, drug dealers came in, and it was a bad situation. But they are certainly that light on the hill to get those kids off the street, to help them to know that there's something better than the lifestyle they have at home. I remember going to a house one night to pick up a boy for Bible study, and somebody waved me to come on into the house. Well, I stood at the door, because as the door opened, there was a poster of this kid's mother. She was a stripper. Boy, oh boy. But anyway, to this picture here, they really know how to feed us there. In taking chemo, nothing tastes very good to me. Well, I have a week off, and then I postponed a week. So I was in pretty good shape by that second week, and things tasted pretty good. I literally gained 10 pounds during that second week that I was there. But anyway, they really fed us like kings. Around the building, remember, if you go back to the picture of the where we saw the fellowship hall, well, that building is in a neighborhood, and feeding people and distributing clothes got pretty good amount of traffic of people through the building there, as was needed. One of the neighbors complained there's too much hustle and bustle in their community. They didn't like it. But somebody else saw the same thing going on and said, well, we've got a building just a few blocks away that we'll donate to you. And that's this building. They call it the Children's Place because it was designed to bring the kids off the street during the summer months. Well, we also moved the food distribution and clothing distribution over to this building. So we will go to the food bank on one day, which in October, it was... We went to the food bank on Thursday in Mobile and brought food down and distributed clothing from this building. So we were able to buy at the food bank 1,500 pounds for $78. Now, those of you that do grocery shopping know that's a phenomenal number, $78, 1,500 pounds. We combined that with what they had, and we gave away 3,500 pounds of food in about 2 hours from that building that I just showed you. 120 boxes plus. And the church there budgets about $100 a week to do that. At the food bank in Mobile, we're picking up the food there. It's bulk. We put in an order prior to going. And they have it almost ready for us by the time we get there. And come back down to that other building and distribute it from there at no cost. As a side note, I remember seeing denominations coming in there buying the same amount of food that we were buying for pennies on the pound, around 18 cents a pound, and then they would sell it at their buildings. We don't do that. We give it away. it's just a large amount of food gets moved out of that building there. Then we come back to that called the Children's Place, and here we're assembling the boxes of food. The guy in the gold shirt, Chris, is that gold or is that brown? Is that gold or brown, Chris? Is that shirt gold or brown?
That shirt is gold and brown.
It's gold and brown, okay. All right. He is from Michigan. He's the dad of one of our members, so he drove down from Michigan to join us. And in the blue shirt is Jeremiah McKenzie. You may remember Larry McKenzie. This is his son. And this is just getting ready for the distribution. Jeremiah is in the blue shirt, and our other member there is Andy in the black shirt. I just noticed this when I was reviewing this morning. He's got his shirt kind of pulled out. I don't know if he's trying to make room for more food. I don't know. But those are the boxes that we had prepared. If you notice the clothing in the back, we drag that clothing out and putting on racks. Volunteers would help us do that. We had a Chevy Suburban. You know, that's a big vehicle. We had a Ford Explorer, again, a good-sized vehicle. We had it stuffed full of garbage bags full of clothes. Most of it was for cold weather. Within 2 hours, that was gone. Within 2 hours, and so was the food. It was 120 boxes distributed within 2 hours. In the back of the room there on the left, you'll see those garbage bags stacked up. That's before we got it sorted out. That's the stuff we brought down. The food would be taken out to the curb, so to speak, and then people would drive by and pick it up. Somebody asked me you have to tell them that you're going to be there, right? Well, anytime we showed up around that building, somebody stopped by and asked, are you distributing food or clothing today? Every time we stopped by. But on the day of the distribution, which this time it was on Friday, we had a sign out on the main street, and people, it was just a steady flow, and within 2 hours, it was 120 boxes and all that clothing had gone. Well, said all that to say this, as we got there on a late Monday night, they had a meal for us. That was our group except for Rachel that went with us. This was just one of the other times when we were together. I think that may have been after the Thursday morning Bible study, maybe. They had a men's and women's inspiration day combined the same day that we were there, and that was on Saturday. So this was probably part of that. And then these are two of our members that are there. And if you notice on Rachel's sweatshirt, you see those images? You may have seen those someplace sometime in the past, over several years maybe, where there is an arrow coming on her right shoulder. There's an arrow going down. And that means that's an indication that Christ came to earth. And then there's a cross. He went to the cross. He was buried. And then there's an arrow going up. He arose. And then you can't see the other arrow on the far left where he's coming back. But to the best of my knowledge, the teens put that together years ago, probably 2006 or 7, there at that particular congregation. They come up with that illustration. And if you want to start a conversation with somebody about religion, there it is, because you'll see those images on your chest, and you say, what's that mean? Perfect opportunity. Jesus came to earth. He went to the cross. He was buried. He arose again. I'm sorry. He arose. He went to heaven, and he's coming back. We had that print on our some of our T-shirts and sweatshirts. So we didn't get to do something this time. It was kind of unfortunate, but I didn't get to do any one-on-one Bible studies, even though we had several Bible studies as a group. And I didn't get to ride in the community this time because there's just too many things going on. But we did do some work projects, minor stuff. Going into that building, it used to have this wooden walkway. Well, it needed to be replaced. Some other volunteers had poured cement, so we're just getting rid of the wood that was there so it can be taken away. Off the back of the building, I was doing some painting on the floor and on the poles as well. And then rebuilt a commode over at the fellowship hall, not the fellowship hall, the children's place. Put up a door plunger, put a handrail down into their baptistry. While we were there, another congregation from North Alabama came down from Madison, and that bus of theirs was full of clothing. So we're just unloading the clothing there for a future distribution. After we got unloaded, there are the bins that were empty before we started on that. So here's how you can be a part of that work if you'd like to be. You can pray for them, of course. We put into our budget $50 a week, or a month rather, to send to them. And then our next planned trip is October of 25. I was the only one this trip that was had been there before. The other four people had not been there before. And they, before we left, they wanted to come back. They wanted to plan a time to come back. So one of them has two teens, or two kids in the Fairfield Union School District. So that's when Fairfield has their county fair, October the 6th, next year. So they planned, okay, well, if the kids are off school that week for the fair, we can go then. So that's what compels me to go back, is to see the work that's being done there, and because of just trying to live what I say I believe. In Mark chapter 6 through 8, there are some sequences of events that I want to call to your attention. Because if you need to have confidence in Christ and be amazed like the earlier Christians were, here is a good place to do it. Read these chapters in detail, if you will, at your convenience, but I want you to notice something. Put yourself in these people's position, the people that are following after Christ, the people that are eyewitnesses to what he's doing. Put yourself in their position, and you'll see Jesus raising Jairus' daughter from the dead. Well, that's pretty amazing. Never seen that before. And then right after that, go feed the 5,000. Well, I've only got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Set them down. Feeds 5,000. Is your head starting to spin a little bit? Well, as soon as he does that, he puts those same followers of his in a boat, sends them to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. It's getting late in the day, and it's storming, and there's wind, and here comes Jesus walking on the water to him. Amazing. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He just fed 5,000 people out with nothing. And then he comes walking on the water. You ever walked on the water? Hello. Have you ever walked on the water? I have, when it's frozen. I used that little bit of a joke down when I was preaching Sunday morning at Bahia Battery, and I got the same response. No, I don't know. And then somebody told me, well, they may not even know what ice is. Then when they get to the other side, there are people there that Jesus heals. So start adding this up. He raises the dead. He feeds 5,000. He walks on the water. He starts healing people. He starts casting out a demon. Amazing. He feeds another bunch of people. Then his disciples are absolutely astonished, amazed at what they've witnessed. Are you amazed with Jesus? Are you amazed? Our Savior. Again, it's no wonder when you look at these things that Jesus did, it's no wonder that Paul said that he was compelled by the love of Christ. How about you? Are you compelled by the love of Christ? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 are very significant. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, and I'll just paraphrase it. In verse 12, it says that we're strangers, aliens, separated from the covenant of the promise, alone and in the world. And what a desperate situation that sounds like to me. That's verse 12. Verse 13 says, but now, in Christ, you're brought near by the blood of Christ. So we're brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, there's some folks that say, well, you know, I'm a good moral person. You know, I don't need to change anything. I am okay. Well, if you look at the facts, what the Bible teaches, it becomes significant to be in Christ. And I want you to pay attention specifically to this phrase, to that phrase, in Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says that all spiritual blessings belong to those who are in Christ. Catch that? In Christ. All spiritual blessings. Well, what's a spiritual blessing? The most significant one that I can think of is forgiveness of sin, and I need my sins forgiven. So if all spiritual blessings belong to those who are in Christ, that must not leave any for those who are in the world. They still have their sins with them. Well, what about Romans chapter 8, verse 1? No condemnation for those who are in Christ. Well, if I'm not in Christ, I must be still standing condemned. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man, and that's a general term, any person, be in Christ, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, that phrase, in Christ. Well, 2 Timothy 2:10 puts the frosting on the cake. In Christ, there's salvation. Well, I want to be in Christ,
and I want salvation. And if I'm not in Christ, there must not be any salvation for me. So the question becomes, well, how do I get into Christ? Well, Paul answered that to the church in Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. We put on Christ through baptism. If you haven't done that this morning, there's always an opportunity to do that now. But it may not be there later on today. Or if you have a relationship that you need to improve with Christ, we encourage you to let us help you while you're going to stand and sing the song that Tom selected.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have all blurred my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. We prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. We'll sing 155, The Old Rug with the Cross. I want to thank Dave for coming and having the fine lesson this morning. 155.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay. Despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach sadly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
So everyone have their communion. If not, Brother Steve will get you on.
Sunday morning, and a nice, bright, sunshiny day it is. We have that to enjoy today. And we have this memorial feast, as David had in his sermon, to remember him, to remember Jesus and what he did for us, Jesus' great love for us, a love that surpasses all, a love that we need to have in our hearts toward him and toward his church. Jesus suffered and died freely for us and willingly. The fruit of the vine represents his blood. Fruit of the bread represents his body was put on the cross. He gave it for us. Try to keep your hearts and thoughts on Jesus and what he did for us as we give thanks for the bread. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. We thank you for this opportunity we have to come together. We ask you to bless this bread that represents your son's body that was so freely given on the cross for each and every one of us, that sacrifice he made for us. We thank you for your love and your mercy. All this we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Like manner, we'll give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we ask you to bless this fruit of the vine that represents Jesus' precious blood that was shed on the cross. Help us keep deep in our hearts the suffering and his great love for us. Please bless this fruit of the vine for its intended use. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Another part of our worship service to God is to give back as we've been prospered. Let us go to God in prayer in that manner. Dear Lord, we thank you for your Son, for all the many wonderful blessings of life that you have so richly bestowed upon us. Help us to have cheerful hearts as we give back to thee. Help us always love and support one another. We ask you to forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Mark has announcements.
I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service, and especially extend the welcome to all of our visitors we have with us today. I'd like to thank Dave for the fine lesson he gave to us this morning, and thanks for coming down and doing that. Also, we remember our Sunday morning Bible study at 9:45, and we'll be It said, like it says in the bulletin, we just finished up the book of Daniel, so we selecting a new study, and we've mentioned it already. If there's a subject that you'd like to be able to study on Sunday morning, let Tom, Dave, or myself know, and that way we can get it together and we can study it together on Sunday morning. Sunday evening, the ladies get on the phone at 5:00. And of course, on Wednesday night, we have midweek services on revival study on that at 6:30. Of course, we remember the changes that's coming up due to the holidays. Of course, we'll have our Bible studies there on December the 26th. That'll be a Thursday, and having it instead of Wednesday night due to Christmas. And also on the following week, on December 31st, we'll be having a Tuesday evening. On Tuesday, having our New Year's potluck, devotion, and songs. And there will be no Wednesday night classes that week. Also, while we're talking about the devotion, there will be a schedule put on, like a sheet put back on the wall in the foyer for any of the men that wanted to partake in the devotion that night. You know, simply maybe you want to do a prayer or do a song or maybe have a couple minute talk. Just let it, you know, they can sign up on that sheet and let us know. That way we can know that you guys are interested in doing that. Also, the church youth group, they'll be getting together on December the 20th from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's a Friday night. And that's held over in our fellowship hall. If you have any questions, get with Sue Anderson, and she'll be able to.
We actually changed that to January the 3rd because there's going to be a lot of people out.
Okay. Oh, okay. Of course, we want to remember that we're doing this weekly now. We have a new weekly broadcast that's put out on every Thursday, usually about 12:15. Somewhere around there, close to that, it gets put out, and it's put on YouTube and Facebook and Spotify. You know, I encourage you to listen to that. Also, like Jimmy had mentioned this morning, and I believe he had mentioned about, there's a program on TV on Sunday mornings at 6:00, and from 6 to 6:30 and a.m. And it's called The Gospel of Christ. And it depends on what systems you have, what channels it may be on. It may be on different ones. So there's different ones it's on. So.
Yeah, the paper's on the bulletin board back there, too,
okay. Of course, we want to remember the cards in the back. Encourage you, if you haven't signed them, go ahead and sign the cards. And that, of course, we want to remember all the ones that's on our prayer list. there's a pretty lengthy list in the bulletin that Holly has put together, the different ones. And of course, we want to remember Sheila Giannis. We mentioned her a little bit earlier this morning, Tom did. She has cancer, and she's asked for the prayers of the church and during the time that she's on through this. But she also, she's asked for new calls or cards at this time. So we'll remember her and the family and all that during the time of her issues and ailments that she has. I think that's about everything I have. Is there anything else that need to add or corrections? Yeah, Tom. That's right. Yeah, Dave and Rose Hall, they're in Kentucky. I believe they're down there with their families having a family reunion, I believe, if I understood it right. So I believe they'll be coming back. I think it's later today or maybe tomorrow. So I know they'll be traveling from there. If there's nothing else, I'll turn it over to Brother Jim, and he'll have the closing prayer.
Please stand if you're able. Our Almighty God and loving Heavenly Father, we come thanking Thee this morning for the privilege that we have, Father, of coming here and worshiping You in spirit and in truth. We pray, Father, that the things that we have done are according to Your will. We pray for those many that we know of, Father, that are on our prayer list, that many that are not able to be here, that You'd be with them and give them the things they need as You know best, and help us to be mindful of the things that we can do. We pray, Father, that You'd forgive us of our sins, help us to be better servants each day of our lives. We're so thankful for Your love and the love of Christ that we can look forward to that home in heaven if we have faith in Thee and in our obedience, and help us to have the mind of Christ as we've learned about today and about those ones that are round about us, Father, that are suffering in different ways, that we would care and do what we can. We pray now that You'd watch over those traveling, that Dave and Rosa being away, and keep them safe, and Sheila that was mentioned that has cancer, that You'd be with those families, Father, in the way that they're suffering at this time. Give them courage and strength. We pray now, Father, that You be with us as we separate from this place. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.